Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how's it going today, man?
Things are great. How about you? Almost playoff time in the Dynasty world. Yeah,
going well. A bunch of my leagues are, as you know, a bunch of my leagues are 24-team leagues, two conferences making up the entire league, and that basically means we need an extra week of playoffs to decide everything. Most of my playoffs actually start this week. A few of them actually started last week. I think we mentioned that with some of the kitchen sink leagues. So it's playoff time for me.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, we've mentioned this over our many episodes here. You're the commissioner of these hyperactive leagues. And when you say they're a 24 team league, I'm in hyperactive 2, I'm in hyperactive 4. Where I'm undefeated, by the way. And meanwhile, you're killing it in the other ones. But for those that don't realize how you operated that, which is cool, and why we start a week early, is yes, it is a 24-team league, but there's almost like two different leagues. There's a hyper and there's an active. So Rob Gronkowski's in both leagues. You know what I mean? Like, for those that don't understand. So when the Super Bowl happens and hyper champ plays the active champ, you could have some of the same players playing against each other, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun wrinkle to it. They're essentially two separate leagues. You don't play the other side until the title game. And like you said, there are different player pools. So Gronkowski, Aaron Rodgers, whichever player you want to look at, there's two copies across the league, one on each side. So, those are fun leagues. And like I said, it's playoff time for us in those leagues. And as you mentioned, Hyperactive 4, undefeated, you lose Zeke and you're still 12-0. That's very impressive.
Yeah, rolling along. And I have some tough decisions this week too. I mean, I got a good team in that one, and I was bad to start. I ended up taking Gurley and Zeke back to back with first overall picks my first 2 years in the league. And it just goes to show you how you can bounce back pretty quick. I mean, I got Wentz is my quarterback. I mean, I got guys like Hyde, Ingram, Deion Lewis, P. Ryan. My receivers are just okay. It's been my running backs, you know, that have been my staple, obviously. But I'm starting Devontae Adams and Brandon Cooks this week. That's not so shabby.
Yeah, I think that may be an interesting thing to look at by the end of the season. Study some of these league champions in competitive dynasty leagues. And I bet most of them are running back heavy teams, where the past few years, maybe teams were anchored by Julio Jones or AJ Green or Calvin Johnson a few years ago, guys like that. But now it's probably Gurley and Ingram and Kamara and these running backs who are just putting up crazy numbers.
And a lot of them are young and, you know, exciting for the future too. And even Elliott, he put up huge numbers when he was in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today, Matt, we've got a listener question episode. We've got some good questions. And our first one actually comes from you, a suggested topic. You threw this out on Twitter, and we will start there. You said you wanted to talk about why Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 10 dynasty quarterback. So I definitely want to hear your argument on that. Just seeing you bring that up, my first thought was I definitely would disagree with that. It made me go check out my rankings. So I currently have Rodgers at number one, Russell Wilson, and then some of the young guys we've seen break out this year: Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Mariota and Winston at 6 and 7, Luck, Cam, and I have Derek Carr at 10. So you can argue that Mariota, Carr, and Winston have all kind of disappointed this season, and maybe a guy like Garoppolo sneaks in there, but actually I probably should have Jared Goff in there somewhere.
You need to mention Goff, yeah.
Yeah, and then so other guys outside of my top 10 besides Goff, who probably will be in there the next time I update, Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Ryan, Brady, Bree, some of those veterans. Garoppolo's still pretty low on my list, but I would love to hear your reasoning for having him in the top 10, and I'm interested in which of the players I named that you would rank him ahead of.
Well, my tweet may have been a little presumptuous. So here was my thinking. I just told you about the league I was undefeated in. Well, the league I don't like to bring up, my team is awful. And I had Vernon Davis and I had the Jags D, and one of the dudes who's relying on Jordan Reed and a terrible defense started picking around trying to get those guys to stretch run. So, great, take my D, take Vernon Davis. I mean, they're worth something to him, that's for sure. And in the deal, I realized there wasn't much that he would get rid of because he's making a stretch run that I was interested in. I got Jimmy Garoppolo, and I was really happy about it. I got like Garoppolo in a third, something like that for those two guys. And my at the time, Tyrod Taylor, Eli, and Rivers were my quarterbacks. So nothing to really get excited about. But I looked at Garoppolo through this eyes of San Francisco absolutely is going to add a receiver this year. I mean, maybe with their first-round pick. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, they're going to spend money on somehow get a receiver. I have no doubt in my mind about that. And it really is just in Shanahan I trust. I mean, I think Garoppolo can be a Matt Ryan-like contributor and can be my long-term answer at quarterback. So yesterday, to another contender in that league, I dealt Phillip Rivers for Charles Clay and a couple thirds and some other things just to get as many picks as I possibly can. But then we're sitting here getting ready to record the Dynasty Blueprint, and I'm like, boy, I really like Jimmy. I think he's a long-term fantasy starter, but top 10, Matt, are you really, is that really true? So I started writing down names I would take over him. In no particular order, I came up with many of the same you just said. Wilson, Carr, Ryan, Rodgers, Dak, Wentz, who's number one on my list, Cam, Luck, Mariota, Watson, Goff, maybe even Brady. So that's like a dozen or 11 guys right there. And then I didn't include Jameis, who probably could make the argument that he still belongs over him. Didn't include Drew Brees. And I also didn't include Cousins or Stafford, who I think you could have an argument with. And I'm not sure if I mentioned Goff, but I'd rather have Goff. So no, he's not a top 10 dynasty quarterback. Long story short, I just proved my question wrong. But you can see my point where he might be a great guy to get and part, you know, look as your long-term starter.
So, I mean, building teams and doing rankings, doing dynasty drafts, for me, it's all about tiers and which players are in the same tiers. I don't find a ton of value in trying to debate between guys like Rodgers and Russell Wilson or Wentz and Dak Prescott or even Mariota and Winston. Like they're all in similar tiers. So that's really, I think, the decision that maybe we need to make. So you're putting Garoppolo maybe in the same tier as guys like Cousins and Stafford and Ryan. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yeah. So
even if he's not, even if he's not top 10 yet, he's at least in that same range.
Comfortable starting, not elite, a lot of upside, I think, system friendly. Yes. So, yeah. And I think that's a good way to do it, especially with quarterbacks, because if you have Winston and I have Mariota, we're not going to trade one for the other. I mean, rarely, unless it's a startup, or you have to actually decide which one you want. So, yeah, I think tiering, especially the quarterback, I guess he would be a third tier guy. You know, if Wentz and Rodgers and maybe Luck or who may or top tier guys, and then a big pile of number twos, I guess he'd be a three, where a month ago I looked at him as a five.
All right. That makes sense. All right. Let's look at some of our questions from our listeners. First one comes from Mike, and this is definitely a popular question, popular topic this time of year. Mike says, my biggest question this time of season is, who are some really deep dynasty stash guys that may be on waivers as we look towards 2018. He mentions this point last year was when he picked up Rex Burkhead, which has proven to be a nice add. This is a tough question to answer because it's so league dependent. It just depends on how many players on your roster. I tried to look at some players who are either on waiver wires in most of my leagues, or I feel like are kind of borderline, either borderline for my own team. Like I might consider dropping them if I needed to pick up someone, or I just kind of feel like they're they could go either way for any roster. So I've got a few names I'm interested in, interested to hear some from you as well. I only really found one quarterback that I thought was interesting. It's Chad Kelly, the Denver rookie. I mean, it's that situation is clearly just a disaster. Simeon and Lynch and Osweiler, obviously none of those guys are the long-term answer. I think we know that at this point. Lynch is really, I guess, the only one that hurts. They spent an early pick to acquire him. The other guys, you just chalk up his losses and move on from. So I think they're in a tough spot because they don't know what they have in Kelly. And we talked about this at the beginning of the year, honestly, before the season even started, this exact scenario. What happens if all three guys, that may have been before they added Osweiler, but what happens if Simeon and Lynch bust, Kelly doesn't play the entire year, and now you don't know what to do? So they want to know what Kelly can give them, but they're also going to be staring at a top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5 pick, and they're going to face a decision using that pick on a quarterback, maybe getting becoming active in the free agency market, which is going to be pretty plentiful, or somehow just giving Kelly a shot. So I'm taking a chance on Kelly, especially if in some of those super flex leagues I'm in, but it's hard to see a path where he's the starter in 2018.
Yeah. A lot of dominoes would have to fall. And it's not even that Simeon or Lynch would worry me. It's just, I can't see Elway as an aggressive GM just going with what they got. You know, I mean, I bet he's going to make some sort of aggressive move. Maybe that's bringing in Eli. I don't know. But, yeah, I hear you. But, yeah, he'd have to be a pretty deep league, or like you said, a two-quarterback or super flex league. The guys I came up with, I assume Brissett doesn't count. Is he too accessible for this?
I mean, if you're talking about waiver wire, I think probably so. He might still be out there on some shallow one-quarterback leagues, but he's been really impressive, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. I mean, like when I'm on the air here in Pittsburgh, I've often said, if Ben retires, that would be my target. Go offer a second round pick for Brissett or something like that. I mean, I think he's an NFL starter. The other two names I came up with, and there's news on this, just because they named Geno the starter, maybe people out there will say, well, they hate Davis Webb. Well, I could see Davis Webb starting next week. Not that I even like him, though, but I could see him finishing out the season, playing a couple games, maybe. I mean, it's really deep. And then you're going to love this one, Tom Savage.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So you tweeted this out during the Monday night game.
That's the Ravens.
Tom Savage is not as bad.
Not terrible.
Yeah, not terrible. Not as bad as people want to pile on. So you got to defend yourself here. He is bad. He's really bad.
I'm not saying he's like, I'd much rather have Brissett. Don't get me wrong. But he's a strong arm guy that makes throws, too many interceptions. But I don't know that he's horrible. I mean, if I put him in Pittsburgh behind this line, handed off a lot and threw deep, you know, the interceptions are a problem. Don't get me wrong. I can make a case where I wouldn't mind him on my football team.
Well, that's not exactly a glowing recommendation,
though. No. I mean, I said he didn't stink.
Yeah, I think he does stink. and I think we're probably talking – we're not talking fantasy or dynasty here at all. You're just thinking from an NFL, a scout perspective, right?
I mean, right.
Fantasy-wise, there's really no argument. He's been really bad every opportunity he's had.
But a typical Superflex league you're in, is he on a roster right now?
He's on a roster, yeah. I mean, in my Superflex league, so they're deep rosters and obviously two quarterbacks, or you can start two quarterbacks. So every starter, I mean, Matt Moore is on a roster.
Yeah.
And right. Every starter and a large number of the top backups are on a roster. So yeah, he's on a roster. I've got him rostered in a couple of them, but it's more of a keep away move. You know, if somebody loses Jameis, if somebody loses Eli Manning, I don't want them to be able to pick up that starter that might give them 10 easy points in a week.
Or maybe the Watson owner wants him.
Right. So, yeah, he's on a roster. He has roster value, but he doesn't have trade value. I don't think you can get, I don't think you could even get really like a third rounder for him in even in a super flex league.
Last name, Blaine Gabbert.
I like that one a little bit more. He's a first round pick. Right. I think it's only a two-game sample here, but I think he's played pretty well, clearly better than what Stanton did.
Yes, and Palmer could retire. I mean, Gabbert could be their opening day starter. I mean, we're reaching here. This is deep. You know, as Sig and those guys say, these are submarine guys, but there's ability. I mean, all the reports, everything Arian says about him is positive. He doesn't seem to crumble with the wind blows as much as he used to. Maybe.
All right. Well, we've spent a lot of time on probably the least important position of quarterback. I'm going to throw out a few other names, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. I think the play here is, and I didn't do this intentionally, but as I was looking over rosters and over waiver wires in some of my leagues, the trend I started to notice is that players I was jotting down were rookies who have maybe disappointed this year. And oftentimes we do have, as dynasty owners, we kind of lack patience with some of these young players, especially if we only spend a third round or a fourth round pick on them. If they're not performing, a lot of times they hit the waiver wire and we're adding the flavor of the week. So if these guys are out there on the waiver wire, I would definitely consider adding them, especially if you're out of the playoffs. Maybe you're dropping your defense and kicker, and or you're dropping guys like Tom Savage who don't have any long-term value. Matthew Days in Cleveland is a guy I would look at.
Crowell's a free agent.
Right, Crowell's a free agent and honestly just hasn't been that good this year. I don't know how that situation's going to play out. I don't want to give them – definitely don't want to give them too much credit, but they've got other holes to fill besides running back. So maybe next year, instead of Crowell and Duke, it's Days and Duke and Daisy Duke, maybe,
or something Barkley like and Duke.
Yeah, maybe, maybe, or just Barkley if that's the case.
Right.
who needs Duke in that situation? Jeremy McNichols, he's pretty well known. He was a second rounder in a lot of my rookie drafts, fortunately not by me, and didn't even make Tampa was his original team, I think. Didn't make that roster. Yep. Ended up with the 49ers, didn't make that roster. I think actually just today he was promoted from the taxi squad. So he's a guy I would kick the tires on. Lots of wide receivers. Josh Reynolds, Amara Darbo, Ardarius Stewart, all those guys have had fairly quiet rookie seasons. If they're on the waiver wire, I would grab those guys. Reynolds played well last week, taking over for Robert Woods, and he had a touchdown. Tight ends, Jeremy Sprinkle. The Washington situation is pretty ugly. Reed just can't stay healthy. He's already been ruled out for next week. And Vernon Davis, I've been impressed with. He's played well, but not a long-term option there in Washington. Rico Gathers, Jonnu Smith. I think Johnny's probably on a roster in most competitive leagues, but if he's somehow available, I'd grab him for sure.
Great names. Ardarius Stewart was on my list. Do you think Mac Hollins is not deep enough?
I looked at him and I was just trying to go a bit deeper, but he's probably in that Jonnu Smith range. If he's available, scoop him up.
Agreed. Especially because Alshon Jeffrey's a free agent after the year. He could be their big, deep threat. The other name you didn't mention that I still am holding on hope for is Jonathan Williams, who, if you recall, he was released by the Bills, and now he's on the Saints. And as much as they love Kamara, there's a chance Ingram is a cap casualty because they're always strapped, that maybe they go and promote Jonathan Williams.
That's the perfect spot for any running back. The only thing that gives me some pause is now just the competition. I don't know if they could pull the trigger and let Ingram go, but we did see this report over the past couple weeks that if he is, I think the story was if he's named a first team all pro, all NFL, whatever that is. I think it's all pro. He becomes a free agent rather than a year down the line. So, I don't know. Is that a long shot to happen? It probably is at this point.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that they cut him after the season or trade him after the season. But again, it's a great spot, and I think Williams is a talent.
Yeah, it's basically the case, and we've seen this over the years with guys like Tim Hightower and Kadett, and I mean all those guys they've cycled through when they didn't want to give Mark Ingram carries. Any running back on that roster, we should be paying attention to. I think the other young guy there is Lasko. I know he got hurt. I'm not sure what his current status is, but if he's healthy, he's another guy. Any Saints running back, I probably want to roster if the league is deep enough.
Agreed.
Let's see. Next question from Falco. What's the outlook on Kareem Hunt? Buy, sell, or hold? So we all kind of know the story there. Started out just on a crazy pace with that 246-yard game, I think it was, in the opener. Had two or three other really strong games after that, and he hasn't scored a touchdown since week three, I believe. His yardage is dropping. His usage is dropping. I don't just look at him and say he's hit the rookie wall or defenses have figured him out or anything like that, because it's that entire offense. We've seen Smith struggling. We've seen Tyreek Hill up and down performances. I really am blaming the offense as a whole or Andy Reid. What's your take there?
Yeah, it's interesting because I had Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus on my other podcast, Locked On NFL, which isn't fantasy related, but what he was working on this week is doing a bunch of work on Kamara and a bunch of work on Hunt. So this Dynasty audience might want to download that podcast because we really went into 10-15 minute conversation about both those guys. And the one thing I didn't realize that, you know, Pro Football Focus is useful for was even over these last couple of weeks where Hunt has done nothing, you know, all his owners are out there going crazy, he still has a very high tackle breaking percentage numbers, which is really his game. You know, that everything he's getting on his own. So Mike very much believed that Hunt is still the same guy he was in the first month. The blocking hasn't been there, especially on the interior. Defenses are starting to figure things out. They're just begging Alex Smith to throw, and he's not doing it well, clearly. But he has no concerns about Hunt, kind of like you said. It's not like it's a rookie wall or any of those things. So to me, he's a monster buy for me right now. And I don't think he'll – I think when in the fantasy world, those first four or five games of his career will probably be the best of his life because he's not going to break 60, 70-yard runs like he did that first month. That's just not who he is. That was fluky. But I do think he's an RB1 that maybe you can get for an RB2, RB3 price right now because everyone's so mad at him.
Yeah, the price with him has really fluctuated throughout. Of course, it spiked when Spencer Ware got hurt before the season even started. It spiked again in a major way when after he got off to this hot start after the first game or two. And I mean, the conversation was, is he the RB1 overall? Do we rank him ahead of Zeke? Do we rank him ahead of Le'Veon Bell? Those were the conversations that were happening. And that has kind of gone by the wayside. But I agree with you. I think he's still a running back one. We're doing our new it's not December yet, but we've actually started our December DLF mock drafts. He looks like he's going to settle in as kind of a mid to late second rounder in startup drafts, according to that current data. I'm buying at that price. He's not a guy you're going to get cheap. But if you can acquire him for like two mid first round rookie picks, I think that's a pretty easy buy, right?
I think a lot of people would give you Hunt for that. I feel bad for those that went all in on him 5 weeks ago and gave up three firsts for him or something. You know, as with the thought of him being one of the first, second, you know, valuable running backs in all of Dynasty. But I would think most Hunt owners right now would give him to you for two firsts.
I don't know. I may need to shop around then.
I want to kick those tires.
I think he's clearly worth more than a random first.
Yes.
I don't know. I still think it's at least two firsts for him. Somewhere in that range, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's definitely worth inquiring because I'm sure his owners are very down on him, and maybe they take the stance of, hey, this guy cost me the 8th pick in my rookie draft. I got a lot of points out of him. I'll turn him into two first rounders, and I still win in the deal.
Yeah, there's some frustration there for sure.
Who's not frustrating, obviously, is our friends at Harry's, and they make great razors. You know, I used to be an electric guy, and now I'm a Harry's guy because before that, any blades and shaving equipment that I used always gave me really irritated my skin, but not with Harry's. That's something you guys absolutely have to check out. And they also are a perfect gift for this time of year. So you already know that Harry's makes amazing quality products at a super reasonable price. Harry's a company that guys love. Over 3 million guys, including myself, have switched. It's a practical gift they'll get a lot of use of. You can personalize it and make him feel special. Choose a color that's right for him, even with limited edition holiday colors they have going on right now. Custom gift sets to fit his specific needs. Even a box for guys that already use Harry's. There's personal engraving if you really want to step it up. This holiday, Harry's is offering a custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts. Their gift sets are built with your guy in mind, so now you'll know. So now you know he'll love them. The sets come with German-engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel that smells amazing, special limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles, and like I said, if you want to personalize it with engraving, that's a great idea too. So no matter what you're looking for, Harry's has you covered. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. Gift sets start at $10. They're also great stocking stuffers. Even get something for yourself from Harry's. So as a special offer for our fans, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order. That's already a good deal when you go to harrys.com/dynasty. This offer is only available for the holidays. So this holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com/dynasty right now. That's harrys.com/dynasty.
Matt, our next question comes from Jonathan. He says, has Hopkins moved above Mike Evans? Looking at some dynasty rankings, ADP, whatever you want to judge that by. He says, Hopkins is quarterback proof, looks great even against some of the best corners in the league. He notes that Evans is very good, but Hopkins has clearly been better this year, and asks, would you trade Evans for Hopkins? So we talked a little bit of quarterback rankings with our first question. So let's look at the wide receiver rankings now. I think, first of all, it's fair to say, again, if you're talking about tiers, these guys are both in the top tier. Probably not a debate many people are going to have as far as Hopkins versus Evans. You kind of know which guy you want. But if that's the question facing you, if you're drafting or if you have that trade proposed to you, just a one-for-one swap, which one are you taking?
Evans still. And I do think Watson being there is exciting. And even if he's not in, Hopkins gets his. However, I just put this on Twitter too, the same conversation with the Savage Knight was, I've underestimated Hopkins as a football player now for far too long. I mean, he is unbelievable. I used to look at him and think, well, he doesn't separate all that great. Well, he makes it work. I mean, the way he goes up and gets the football is unreal. I mean, he is a very special guy that I always thought he was a slightly lesser talent than the top tier guys, you know, the Julios, the Evans, the prototypes. And now I'm convinced that he's a different type of talent, but not a lesser talent. He's not, you know, he doesn't run a 4.3. He isn't 6.4. All that being said, I slightly favor Evans. And a year ago, or in the offseason, to me, they weren't even close.
Right. I think for most people, they probably weren't close in the offseason. And obviously, that has changed. Hopkins has produced even without Watson. He's still continued just to turn heavy volume into some really nice numbers, receiving numbers and fantasy numbers for us. I think, again, they're in the same tier. I don't spend a ton of time debating one versus the other, but I think if I'm ranking them now, I probably would prefer Hopkins. And really? I've always been an Evans guy. I mean, he's one of my favorite players to cheer for and one of my favorite players to have on my dynasty rosters. But he has kind of disappointed. We expected a step back when they added DeSean Jackson. They add O.J. Howard, which hasn't had a huge impact, but it's kind of all part of the puzzle there. And I think Winston has taken a step back, and maybe it's all just that shoulder injury. Hopefully it is, because I have a lot of faith in him as well.
Whole organization's been a nightmare this year.
Yeah. You can't really say anything bad about Watson, though. And just when you think of Watson and Hopkins together, hopefully for a full season next year and for years to come, not only is it pretty easy for me to move Hopkins above Evans, I think you can make a strong case for Hopkins as the number one overall dynasty player.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's really the conversation, because I think just 2 weeks ago we were asking, is it Odell or Evans? And if it's now a question of if Evans and Hopkins is a conversation, well, then Odell should be right there with them too. I mean, are they the only three receivers you would ever consider as the top spot?
Yeah, those are clearly my top three right now. And that's obviously not meant to be a knock on Antonio Brown or Julio Jones or AJ Green. But for me, I'm just trying to buy years, and Beckham and Evans and Hopkins, I think, have more quality years in them. So there's plenty of people probably who would still rank Brown number one, maybe would even take him number one overall. And I'm not here to argue that. He belongs in the top as well. I would just have a hard time taking him over those guys who are 4 or 5 years younger.
Yeah, I hear you.
So let's stick on the wide receiver topic and go a little bit deeper. If it's Beckham and Evans and Hopkins, and then maybe Brown and Julio, what does that next group look like for you? I'm specifically wondering how far Amari Cooper has fallen down the list.
I was about to bring up Cooper because you adored him. And are you mad at him? Is he in your doghouse? I mean, because you really were all in.
Yeah. I love Cooper. Again, one of my favorite guys. I've owned him on every roster I can get a hold of him. I was able to, I say buy low. I hope it ends up being a buy low, but I was able to buy him after his poor start. And I guess I should say really before that, was it Kansas City? That was the Thursday night game. He really blew up.
One huge game he had.
Yeah. I was able to buy him in a couple spots before that. So I think his price shot up temporarily and now has started to drop again. So he was the wide receiver three, both in our ADP and in my own rankings, behind Beckham and Evans for much of the offseason. And no matter what you think of him, it's honestly would just be foolish not to have moved him down. I mean, Hopkins has clearly moved ahead of him, despite the age difference. It's hard to see him ahead of guys like Brown or even Julio. So I think he's doing well to stay in the top 10 wide receivers. And I've seen some people who have moved him down even to the lower teens or even outside of the top 20. I'm not ready to go that far, but right now for me, it's more of a conversation of Cooper versus guys like Cooks or Keenan Allen. Or
I just wrote down a list while you were talking of, I was going to ask you Cooper versus X. You want it?
It's going to hurt, but yeah, go ahead.
All right. Keenan Allen's at the top of the list. I went Allen.
I had this trade offer today, basically. I had to give a little bit. I think the offer was Allen for Cooper and a third on a team I'm contending, and I rejected. So I guess I'll say Cooper there.
Okay. I was actually offered this today and I kind of laughed at it, but my team's a contender was, I have Cooper and he offered me Dez and a little bit of junk for Cooper.
No.
I don't want anything to do with Dez.
I mean, Dez has probably lost as much value as Cooper has this year, and he doesn't have age on his side. So,
and he doesn't look good.
No, yeah. It's Cooper clearly over Dez for me.
Yes, for me. I just wanted to mention that one. Corey Davis, you can't go there yet, can you?
No, Cooper.
Okay, Cooks.
See, I think Cook's there. I think I'm ready to do that.
Me too. T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, Cooper.
Agreed. Baldwin.
So underrated, even by me still.
That one's a coin flip for me.
That one is tough for me too. I guess I probably would go Cooper, but I'm probably going to look foolish for that choice. I mean, I guess those questions, looking at some of those players, that probably puts him, close to the bottom 10, maybe just outside of the top 10. And maybe I would have Allen over him. I mean, Allen's only a year and a half older than him or something, so it's not like he's old.
Right.
I'm not really worried long-term about injuries. Maybe I should go back to that trade offer I had today.
I might rather have Allen, and Allen's good. Especially if you're in it this year, I'd much rather have Allen for the rest of the year for the playoffs. Yeah. And here's two tough ones for me, the Vikings.
I mean, Thielen's been a great story, and it's funny. I mentioned him with Baldwin. Both of those guys are undrafted free agents. And I do think things like that, even though it's years removed, stick in the back of our minds. Maybe one of those biases that we can't get past for whatever reason, even though they are producing on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that there's a conversation between Adam Thielen and Amari Cooper. I mean, can you imagine us having that conversation 2 months ago?
Yeah. Thielen, gosh, just one of the greatest stories of this season is his emergence and his production. What about Tyreek Hill? Hill versus Cooper. That's the last one we'll do.
That's a good one. Cooper.
Yeah, me too. Eric says, do you have any future free agents to be this offseason that we should be targeting in Dynasty? This offseason is going to be so fun from a free agency perspective. Everybody has talked for years about that class of 2014, and a large number of those guys are going to hit the free agent market this offseason. But even beyond those guys, there's some players who are big names, and these are not necessarily players you would target because they're free agents. I don't think they're going to be any cheaper because of that or anything, but definitely a potential shakeup. Just looking at some of the big names, Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins. I think everybody knows the situation there. I would say Cousins is, do you think he's likely to leave Washington at this point? Is that still fair to say?
Yes. But it seems like there's bad blood there and it was a foregone conclusion. But now the San Francisco situation isn't there. It seems like a good marriage between Gruden and Cousins. Is who else are they going to get? You know, like all the Washington quarterback situation could be a nightmare. I wonder if they mend fences.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a matter of who else they could get. I think it's
where else he could go.
Right. It's all in Cousins' court as far as does he decide to stay there, or does he, or is there bad blood? Are there some things that maybe we don't know about? I mean, Cousins in Denver would be nice, right? The Giants, Jacksonville, Browns. There's so many teams that, if you just look at the list of starting quarterbacks for this coming week, so many teams that are going to be quarterback shopping this offseason. One of them is going to end up with Drew Brees. Could be the Saints, of course, but we've heard rumors maybe they're ready to end that relationship. It's going to be Kirk Cousins somewhere. It's going to be Eli Manning somewhere unless he chooses to retire. And we've got at least a deep crop of rookie quarterbacks coming in, as we talked about last week with Lawrence.
Yeah, and the rumor you keep hearing is if Cousins leaves, they might make a trade for Dalton.
Oh, I had not heard that rumor, actually.
Yeah, get Gruden and Dalton back together.
Okay.
And maybe they would then keep McCarron, or what do the Bengals do?
Right. The other interesting note is the Vikings. So Bradford, Keenum, and Teddy Bridgewater are all free agents this offseason. seeing what they do, I definitely don't think it will be it won't be Bradford. I can't imagine the guy that they that they look for or that they look to. I know you was it you saying you were have been really impressed with Keenum?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Far exceeded my expectations. It's funny because I told you we had that conversation with Mike Renner today. That was the second half of the podcast, was all Viking talk. And a lot of it was, well, what are they going to do next? And how good Keenum's playing. Pro Football Focus loves him. It seems to me that the Vikings' favorite, though, is Bridgewater, who's my least favorite.
Well, they're kind of in a tough spot, too. I talked about the Broncos are going to go into the offseason not without seeing Chad Kelly in game action. Mm-hmm. If Keenum keeps playing so well and they're in strong contention, they may go into the offseason without seeing Teddy as well.
Absolutely. And making it harder, the other 31 teams haven't seen Teddy. You know, yeah. Like if you're the Jags and you want to sign Teddy Bridgewater, last you heard, he fell in a hole and tore up his knee. You know, that was a long time ago.
Some other free agents, there's big names at other positions as well. Carlos Hyde, Le'Veon Bell, both of those players have been much discussed this season. I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Hyde is going to go somewhere else besides San Francisco. And what happens with Le'Veon will be one of the top stories of the offseason. The Patriots, I'm sure they will figure this out, but they've got some decisions to make. Rex Burkhead, Deion Lewis are both free agents. Mike Gillisley has been a bust. It's hard to call him anything but a bust. So they've got to figure some things out. And Jerick McKinnon is also a free agent back to Minnesota. He's played pretty well since Cook went out. I don't see him staying there. I think he's going to, he's going to find another spot where ideally he can play a little bit more, which is good news for dynasty owners.
Yeah. And we mentioned Crowell earlier too. I mean, he's a name.
Right. And then the wide receivers position is really where it's just flush with talent. All those second and third and fourth rounders who hit from that 2014 class, Allen Robinson and Dante Moncrief and Jarvis Landry, Jordan Matthews. Some of those guys obviously have been up and down, especially this year, but I'm excited to see even where some of those second and third tier guys end up. Like I could see Matthews really regaining some dynasty value if he goes to the right spot. And then some of these undrafted guys are also going to be free agents. Willie Snead, Cameron Meredith, Tyrell Williams, all will be available as well.
John Brown, Alshon Jeffrey, I don't know if you mentioned him. He only signed a one-year deal.
Right.
I would think A-Rob is the most sought after.
Over Landry?
Yeah. I mean, Landry doesn't get any yardage. He catches a ton of balls for 4 yards.
I don't know. It's going to be fun. I know that. Yeah. I'm hoping for a new landing spot for Dante Moncrief. I think he kind of needs a fresh start. And considering the way they have used him this year, I would be surprised if they even tried to keep him. Like, I think they're just going to let him walk.
Yeah, I agree. I also think A-Rob probably gets franchised.
All right, that is all the questions we can get to for tonight. As always, we'll try to hit you up on Twitter and answer some of those questions that we did not get to answer on the show tonight. Thanks again for sending those in, and thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.